Welcome to the MetPro Method Podcast. I'm your host, Crystal O'Keefe, and today I'm joined by MetPro Director of Coaching and Client Experience, Megan Omley, and also joined by MetPro Coach, Ryan Padilla. We're going to be discussing our meal creator and food list within the MetPro app. Megan, Ryan, thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Thanks for having us, Crystal. This is a fun topic. It's a topic I'm so passionate about, so I'm excited to chew through it, literally. Yeah.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, you like that?
Megan, let's start with you. Can you explain the purpose of Meal Creator and how it's different from a traditional food tracking app?
Absolutely. I get this a ton. MetPro is not a food tracker, right? Anybody who's used MetPro knows you can't come in and just log whatever you ate. You really, truly have to start with creating your meal first in the app and then making the meal, right? Because otherwise it's going to be really complicated and really just stressful. And so I always tell people, we aren't giving you a set of macros like MyFitnessPal is or Lose It app or whatever app you're previously used to tracking your food in. We're actually giving you a bite for bite meal plan. And we want to script what you're choosing at each meal as well to help you hit those targets. So really that meal creator is to help you build your meals first so that we are telling you what to eat versus you telling us what you ate. That makes sense.
And no, it makes total sense. I do have a follow-up question to that for either of you. And that is that when you say you're following that meal plan script, I sometimes have clients think that means we're literally saying for breakfast, I want you to have a bran muffin and a bowl of berries. And we're breaking it down to tell you exactly what to eat every day. But this is more of a lot of choices that you can make. And that's where the creating the meal part comes in, right?
Absolutely. When you get in there, you'll see a specific list of food that helps you then create what you want to eat, not what I want to eat, but all of those things, for the most part, are going to be good options at mealtime.
That's a great point. And taking everything you said before, I should not assume that every single thing that I would like to eat is going to be in the meal creator, right? So if I want to have some chocolate chips on my pancakes, is that going to be a thing?
Yeah, well, I can jump into this because this is great. Yeah. Because we have this conversation a lot with clients that will ask about, they may not even be understanding it this way, but they're asking and comparing it to a food tracker. And think of the chocolate chip question, like, we are trying to build variety for you, but we're also trying to look at this from a proactive lifestyle improvement, trying to help somebody understand that to help you get to your goals and to maintain your goals, trying to build structure with intentionality. But as far as true real life flexibility, like the chocolate chips on a pancake, that's where the conversation with your coach, yeah, it's not going to be in the app precisely, but how can we build awareness about a food item like that with mindfulness? And so there is some gray area with it, but structurally, foundationally, the meal builder, the meal creator has a longer focus point for clients with their best interests in mind.
Okay.
Absolutely. I like how Ryan said that. I'll just add to that in the sense of those food lists at the specific time of the meal are very specific, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you are creating a snack, you're going to have a different set of food lists than you're going to have at, say, a meal time. They're very specific.
And why is that so specific for each meal plan? Is there, I'm sure there's a thought process behind it, but as a client, what do I need to know?
Yes, absolutely. So there's a lot that doesn't meet the eye there. And so people will jump in and be like, oh, it seems really limited, or, oh, there's not my Triscuits or my Cheez-Its or things like that. And that's because with our food list, we're getting more specific than even meets the eye, right? So we're looking at things, and I know you guys talked about this previously on the podcast, but glycemic index versus glycemic load. Then we're also looking at macronutrient timing, right? So sometimes you're going to have meal carbs, other times you're not going to have what we call meal carbs. You're going to just have veggie carbs. And so we get really specific with the timing and what is shown on that food list.
Okay. And so that kind of clears up carbs, but when you think about proteins or fat lists, what about those? Should I see every single option that I can possibly think of for those two lists?
No, not quite. But it's going to cover a large scope. And back to my point on building a strong foundation, the good thing is here is that with a meal builder, it's going to allow you to gain awareness, confidence with maybe some other sources of protein, for example, that aren't on here, and where you could understand how we are using proteins for your given meal plan at that point in time. But with the point that Megan was making about the intentionality of carbohydrate loads at certain points of the day, that also is attached to us really having the best interest in mind for the client in having, for example, a lot of higher glycemic carbs maybe earlier in the day, and trying to direct you towards more lower glycemic carbs later in the day. And especially with a meal like dinner, for example, where we want you to be full and satisfied and maybe have more fibrous carbohydrates, also with all of your vegetables.
I'll also just say, when it comes to proteins and fats, if you feel like there's something missing from those lists, definitely ask, right? Use the Ask a Coach feature, ask your concierge coach, whatever it might be, because in those lists, we don't dissect out like ground chicken breast, right? Otherwise, there's just way too much in there. I had a client long ago, never forget him. He told me these food lists, they're too big. And I was like, oh, wow, he's the opposite of what a lot of people say. And I was like, okay, fill me in. He's like, they're too big, they're too long. And if you don't just tell me what to eat, I'm going to eat the ice cream. And I was like, there's no ice cream in there. He's like, that's the point. So, you know, we want to keep those short and concise too, so that you're not just scrolling, right? So if you're using brown chicken versus like a chicken breast, you're going to need the same amount to hit that protein because it's still a very clean source of protein, right? The only thing that I would say wouldn't be in there are things like your gamey type of meats, right? Like bison or those sorts of things. And so if you want to use those, ask your coach. And there's usually a very easy way for us to explain how to track those in your app too. So,
okay, perfect. So if they're not there, if they're not listed there, it doesn't mean they're not allowed. Sometimes if it's a Cheez-It, okay, maybe that's not something we're looking for you to eat.
Carbohydrates are different. But protein and fats, usually we list oil. Yeah, sure, you can use olive. Or a seed oil if you want, or it can be whatever, right? We just list blanket oil because typically 2 tablespoons is going to get you where you need to complete that fat, right? But okay. When it comes, so protein and fats, that can be true, but not.
It's such a good thing.
They are not all created equal.
They are not. And I think it's really good to call out the proteins and fats because I'm sure you guys experience this too, where I get a lot of clients that are rule followers, my type A people, and they're like, well, if it says it's not here, I can't eat it. And no, that's not the case. So I'm really glad you guys explained that. Now, I also know, though, that MetPro does change the food options that are available depending on if you're going through a revving cycle or if you're going through a fat burning cycle. So why do those food options change over time?
Yeah, great question. There is a threshold's a perfect word because depending on the client and the intake they're at in that current season of their journey, once we fall under that threshold for that individual, we are focused primarily on lower glycemic carbohydrates. And because, say we have, for simplicity's sake, 100 grams of carbohydrates total for the day, not very much. We don't, to allow that client to then build their own meals and snacks using 80-100% even of their carbohydrates of that 100 coming from high glycemic carbs, a lot of fruits, they're going to feel incredibly hungry. Their energy is not going to be maybe sustainable for the duration of the day. Their workouts may not be as efficient. A large amount of potential issues could occur from that. So in the app, when that threshold is then fallen underneath, we will do a lot more higher glycemic carbohydrates to help them out with that and be even proactive from our side of things and just changing some of their options so that they're guided in a more intentional direction to help them out and keep them fuller, keep them energized, keep them well-rounded, and also heading in a good direction with the performance of their workout. So it's definitely in the best interest of where they're at.
there will be sometimes too where throughout a whole day on a certain phase, you won't have watermelon lists or kiwi or cantaloupe, those sorts of things too, right? Because those we reserve for when you're on higher intakes and then pull them off when you're on lower intakes. So I'll add that. And then the other thing to note is glycemically, when we use the word high or low, right? High for us is not actually high, right? In the scheme of things and in the world of carbohydrates, those are still considered low to sometimes medium, right? And so we're really using carbohydrates that are always, but we call them high because they're high on MetPro.
On our scale, it goes to here.
Exactly. We're not talking the wide scale. So I'll just add that.
That's a great point. So building off of that then, are there going to be times that I'm going to see foods that are going to be in one meal plan, like a breakfast, and not necessarily in a snack or vice versa?
Without getting super nerdy, because I just really get into this stuff, right? Obviously, I love it. So that's where MetPro, again, is bringing in a little more of the behind the scenes, right? So first, we're controlling that by what meal plan you're on, right? And what we're actually showing you at that time, right? Everybody who's done MetPro has been at dinner before without any meal carbs, right? So that's one way where you may not see the meal carbs listed there because you actually don't get any.
But you get lots of veggies.
Yes, totally. Then you see all the veggie carbs, you see the protein, the fat. Absolutely, we want you leaving your meals full and satiated for sure. Then the second thing we do is we break those meal carbs. Also, we break them into a snack carb too, right? So at snack times, you're not going to see your meal carb list, but you're going to see your snack time list. And sometimes there's some cross between the two lists, but the serving size is different, which we'll talk about later on. But, and really the reason for that is at meal times, we're really driving you towards those more complex carbs, as Ryan just shared a minute ago, and pairing them with proteins and fats to control your blood sugar. And so those have a little bit of a lower glycemic load due to their fiber content. I think that answers your question.
It does. And I'd like to build again, because you said we'd get into it. So let's get into it. There's different gram amounts, right? So you have meal carbs are a different one than snack carbs. So tell me more about that.
Yeah, no, because there is a difference. And first, kind of the rules that we have is how we set macronutrients for clients. The meal carbs, one serving is listed as 15 grams of carbohydrates. The snack carbs are listed as 10 grams of carbohydrates, and vegetables are listed in servings of carbohydrates. And it helps streamline the process of us mapping out, as Megan alluded to earlier, sort of your bite for bite meal plan. But it also helps integrate the system at which the client can then build their own meals. So meal carbs, 15 grams, snack carbs 10, vegetables 5. And your display will show you the amount that you need to hit at each meal or each snack given.
Carbs, right? Protein and fats, they are not created like carbohydrates, as we've said a couple of times, right? And so those are just more streamlined. One serving of protein is 15 grams, one serving of fat is 15 grams. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
But then why do we sometimes see vegetables on the cooked food list, but then sometimes those same vegetables are on the free food list? I love this question. I get it all the time.
Yeah. It depends on how that individual typically is. If they're struggling to eat vegetables, I really just remove those parameters. And I just say, let's just eat them however you like them, prefer them. And then once we establish some better techniques and habits there, then we can expand into this question. So it essentially comes down to how vegetables, from a micronutrient, macronutrient, and even just a molecular structure, how those are altered during a cooking process. Because some are enhanced, even are raw, obviously, but some vegetables are enhanced even when they're cooked. And so, for example, carrots, one of the more classic ones. We've all had carrots where we cook them and they naturally caramelize. You can actually add to the carbohydrate count of something like a carrot when it is cooked. So it has a different nutritional value when it is cooked versus when it's raw. So a lot of the free vegetables are very low, even from a calorie and carbohydrate standpoint. And so you see a lot of those in the free list, but you do have to maybe account for those when they're, but really what it comes down to, we try to set these parameters and expectations for clients, because if we don't, we've seen that if we just try to leave it and encourage a lot of vegetables, it turns out that clients really like the guidance and setting some of these rules, because there's actually more success with the consistency of consumption of vegetables if we do actually set parameters.
I love that. I think that is, it's such a funny thing, and it's counterintuitive, because you would think if somebody just says, eat all the vegetables you want, we would all then respond by eating a lot of vegetables, but that's not what happens. That's what you're saying. What happens is people eat none of them, and that's the opposite of what we want. So if I'm hearing you guys correctly, yes, it is going to have slightly less sugar, less carbs if it's raw. But if you have trouble getting your vegetables in, eat them anyway, whether they're cooked or raw, because we just want you to eat the vegetables. Am I breaking that down?
That's fair. Absolutely.
The other way is true too, right? Sometimes I'll hear from people, oh, there's not enough veggies on this list. And I'm like, okay, I'm totally good with that. If you finish your whole meal, you can have whatever vegetables in whatever quantity you want, right? I did only have myself tested one time where I had a client who would eat like bags. He'd be like, no, I ate a whole bag of baby carrots yesterday. I'm like, what size bag? And he's like, I don't know, let me look. And he looks, he's like, it was 2 pounds. I'm like, you ate 2 pounds of carrots? And he's like, yeah, and I also ate a full bag of microgreens. And I was like, okay, so I might be eating my words a little bit and saying, just have at it. Right? That's impacting us, but okay. For most people, you can consume as many veggies as you want.
Both are great points. Okay. But another thing that comes up a lot is that we have all these free foods, and the part of the idea we're doing that is to separate too the nutritional value, because there could be more water in those free foods than in a food that's considered a vegetable carb. So let's say I'm going to have a salad. Can I still have it even if everything I chose for the salad is considered free food? Or is that just not even count? Like, how does one deal with that when it comes to the meal plans for MetPro?
The free foods are also there if you're hungry outside of a meal, right? So sometimes people will be like, oh, I was really hungry when I got home, but I had a huge salad and then it took me to dinner time, right? And so those can be used interchangeably. But yeah, if you, like I said, those free foods, if you're adding them to a meal, like salad with raw food items on there, you just have to make sure that you're also finishing your carbs, protein, and fat on your actual plate. Or if you're like, oh, I couldn't finish my chicken, it was too much. Okay, but then you had a big salad, your coach is going to instruct you, finish that other stuff first.
I'll take it from another angle, because again, this is pretty common. And that would be getting caught up in some of the details of the vegetable part of building a meal. Like a client's on a phase for even upwards of over a week, and they get very used to measuring out in the pattern of measuring out their protein, fats, and carbs. And vegetables, as we all could understand, sometimes need some variety. So they're just changing those out. And they're just like, well, I just made a big salad. I know most of it's free food. But yeah, don't beat yourself up in trying to execute the extreme precision of the vegetables. Just they're all free and you're having a great abundance of them. And so you can still check off that meal and understand that you did what you were supposed to do and you're on track for the day and for that given meal.
Okay, that's great. All right. Now, what about your client has a food that they're eating, just asking for a friend, something like pizza rolls? How do you include that? How do you mark that in the app whenever you have something that's just not there?
Yeah, no, because this is life and we have to consider things like this. And it's not about perfection, it's about consistency. But when this happens, my piece is we're trying to avoid an all or nothing mindset. And so if something like pizza rolls is sought out, my first instruction is how are we trying to build dinner first? And then is pizza rolls truly just something on top of your daily eating that you felt like you wanted or whatever the reason might be? Because if we're having pizza rolls over our really high value and optimal dinner, I think that's a conversation worth having. But if we're truly just having additional pizza rolls, let's just log that in the app as extra food. The app alcohol, extra food, sweets, junk food, those are there in a very general sense to be logged for this very reason. It's so that way we can have conversation about it from a client coach perspective on the lifestyle metrics, if you will, of it. So if it's truly just extra food, let's not get caught up in a macro logging sequence for something like a pizza roll. Let's just log it as extra and just talk about it and talk about what, if anything, needs improving.
Yeah, that's good. I think bottom line is you can't add to the MetPro app, right? We don't have a scanner. We don't have log your sins here, essentially. Like, we just have a point value when it comes to that. You can't input food into the MetPro app. I just want to drive home the point that this is very intentional. There is a lot that we've already discussed and discovered behind the scenes going into these food lists. They're there in that way by design.
Okay. And I guess same question for if I come across a fruit or vegetable that isn't in the app, what do I do then?
Again, ask your coach the simplest answer, right? Because there could be a reason. Maybe it's a higher glycemic fruit. Maybe it's something that does come into play when you're on those higher intakes, as Ryan and I already talked about, right? Or maybe it's just a fruit that not everybody eats, right? Like, I had somebody ask me about jackfruit once, and I was like, oh yeah, you're not going to find that in here. You're on this intake, so here's how you can use it. Or I had somebody ask me about pitted cherries recently. I'm like, cherries are in there. And if you're measuring them without the pit in them, they're going to weigh a little bit less. So I don't know, add another one or two, maybe three. That's the beauty of MetPro, is we're not like, that's like going to be okay, going to be fine.
Yeah. It's also to help if we see a fruit, vegetable, more of these whole foods that we have been implementing into our lifestyle change, which are beautiful foods. So if you're having one of those awesome foods and it's not in there, it's a super valid question. And as Megan was alluding to, we don't want to create a database that where you spend a ridiculous amount of time scrolling to ensure for this accuracy that is probably already being adhered to. So if it's an anomaly situation of a fruit that's really in season for a minute amount of time where you're located, that's just a quick conversation with your coach to build clarity to that. But it's usually very straightforward. So it helps just make things very streamlined and very efficient for everybody and all users in the app.
This has been incredibly helpful. I think we've answered a lot of questions that people ask, but is there anything that you guys feel like we missed? Do either of you have something you want to make sure that the listeners know about the foods in the app?
I think a conversation I have early and often with clients, whether it be basic clients coming in or a concierge client, is that the first couple weeks of jumping into sort of this system that we've been talking about today, first couple weeks are always the hardest. You got to reconsider the logistics of your schedule, the logistics of your family, the logistics of cooking, shopping, prepping, even the logistics of using a meal prep service if you go that route. There's all these things that have to change because you yourself are trying to change. And so really just once you get the system down, it really just simplifies your plan of attack, helps simplify everything you're trying to do. So the point I'm trying to get to here is that just lean into the first few weeks of the hard work, and it really becomes a really nice thing that can automate and simplify everything while you are now obtaining and chasing down these goals.
Well said. Well, thank you, Megan. Thank you, Ryan. I appreciate both of you for joining me today. Before we let you go, please let everyone know where they can find you both if they have questions.
Megan at metpro.co. That's me.
Yeah, absolutely. So the quickest, easiest way is email. It's the way we can get directly contact and even just get a lot of detailed answers to any clients, potential clients, or just anyone interested. RyanP@metpro.co.
Wonderful. Listeners, that's all for this week. You can find all the MetPro Method episodes anywhere you get podcasts, or you can go to metpro.co/podcast. Please be sure to follow the show and rate and review. That lets other people know what they can expect. You can also learn more about MetPro at metpro.co. I'm your host, Crystal O'Keefe, and I'll be back in a couple of weeks with another episode. Until then, remember, consistency is key.